Good morning. My name is Rob, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to Vesta's third quarter 2013 earnings conference call. Vesta issued its quarterly report on Thursday, October 24, 2013. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in New York City at 646-284-9406. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements made during today's conference call do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, and company performance and financial results. These statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. All figures included herein were prepared in accordance with IFRS and are stated in nominal U.S. dollars unless otherwise noted. Joining us today from Vesta in Mexico City is Lorenzo Bejo, Chief Executive Officer and Chairman of Vesta, Juan Sotil, CFO of Vesta, and Iga Wolska, Investor Relations Officer of Vesta. And now I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Bejo. Sir, please begin.
Thank you, Rob, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for your interest in Vesta and for participating in our conference call to discuss the third quarter 2013 results. I would like to discuss first some of the financial highlights of this quarter before moving on our key company developments over this period. I will then hand it over to Juan Sotil, Vesta's CFO, who will describe in greater detail our third quarter financial results. I'm very pleased to announce that Vesta again recorded healthy and strong operating results for the third quarter 2013, continuing our sound growth strategy, even amid the decelerating economic environment in Mexico and worldwide. We believe that Vesta's results are indicative of our sound business model and expertise in the industrial real estate sector, of which is evidenced by the market improvement in our vacancy levels, which decreased 400 basis points over the third quarter from 12.1% to 8.1%. During this quarter, Vesta initiated the construction of 7 buildings with a gross leasable area of 101,839 square meters, or 1.1 million square feet, representing a growth of 8.3% compared to the same gross leasable area of our portfolio the previous quarter. Looking at Vesta's presence in the market, we are proud to announce that the Mexican Stock Exchange recently included Vesta within the IPC Mid-Cap Index, reflecting our market capitalization growth. Mexico is currently undergoing a transformation related to the approval of structural reforms. Such reforms will be a catalyst for a stronger growth of the Mexican economy. More specifically, it relates to our company, the fiscal proposal has certain initiatives that eliminate the CIBRAS, which translates to Sociedades Mercantiles de Inversión en Bienes Raíces, vehicle, which is the vehicle Vesta used in the past. Given that our growth strategy is based on the industrial real estate development and not on the tendering of properties in exchange for shares, such initiative does not have an impact on the company. In regards to our financial performance, I would like to touch on some of the key highlights, including that of our net income for the quarter, which rose 16.4% to 14.79 million US dollars. The net operating income saw a strong growth of 17.2% and reached 14.1 million dollars in the third quarter 2013. Our comprehensive income was a healthy gain of 13.96 million US dollars in the third quarter 13, compared with a profit of 9.76 million US dollars at the end of third quarter 2012. As we look to the fourth quarter and 2014, Vesta will continue to solidify its position as a leader in Mexico's industrial real estate sector and seek opportunities that both fuel our ongoing growth and also meet our high-quality standards. We remain confident in the future macroeconomic environment in Mexico, and the fundamentals of our business model position Vesta to further capitalize on an improving financial landscape. Moreover, we're encouraged by the positive factors that currently support our growth trajectory, most notably being our greatly improved vacancy rates in conjunction with a combination of a stabilization of income from previous investments and new construction that we have initiated during this specific quarter. By continuously seeking profitable opportunities in high-growth markets, Vesta is ever committed to delivering value to our shareholders. I will now turn the call over to Juan Sotil, who will provide greater detail to our financial results.
Thank you, Lorenzo. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss our results for the third quarter 2013. Vesta results again demonstrated our position as Mexico's leading pure-play industrial real estate developer and emphasized the strength of our business model and industry expertise. I would like to point out that the consolidated financial and operation information outlined below is based on accounts prepared in accordance with the International Financial Reporting Standards issued by the International Accounting Standards Board and correspond to the comparison of the results obtained in the third quarter 2013 with the same period of the previous year. Vesta's rental revenues reached $14.8 million during the third quarter 2013, an increase of 16.4% for the same period in 2012. The revenue growth stems from four factors: an increase of $2.65 million related to rentals of space that were vacant in the third quarter 2012, an increase of $0.39 million related to the inflationary adjustments made in the third quarter 2013 on property already rented, an increase in the rental income of $0.07 million due to the effect of conversion of rental income denominated in pesos to dollars, and an increase of $0.93 million in expenses incurred on behalf of our clients, which were reimbursed by clients and are recorded as part of the rental revenue. However, the increase in revenue was partially offset by several factors, which include a decrease of $1.09 million related to lease agreements that were expired and were not renewed during the third quarter 2013, and a decrease of $0.07 million related to lease agreements which were renewed during the third quarter 2013 at a lower rental rate. Operating costs during the third quarter 2013 amounted to $0.96 million and were up 21.4%. Of this increase, $0.01 million or 1.1% is directly related to the investment properties rented that generated rental income. This increase was primarily attributable to an increase of $0.19 million in property taxes. The company began accruing the property taxes on a quarterly basis this year, while in 2012 property taxes were recorded when paid. An increase of $0.04 million in insurance, a decrease in other property-related expenses that amounted to 0.31. The property management fee decreased 0.12 million as Desarrolladora Vesta, the management company agreement, was terminated and all activities previously performed by Desarrolladora Vesta are now done by the Vesta management subsidiary. An increase of $0.05 million in maintenance costs, of which $0.07 million were recorded in 2013 and $0.11 million in the same period of 2012. In addition, the direct operating costs from investment properties that did not generate rental income during the year increased $0.16 million or 142%. The increase is mainly explained by an increase of $0.06 million in property taxes, of which $0.06 million were paid in the third quarter 2013 and $10 million in third quarter 12. property taxes are paid in pesos, and an increase of 0.10 million in real estate taxes and park maintenance fees for our land reserve properties. Vesta gross profit totaled a gain of 17.47 million in the third quarter 2013, compared to a gain of 14.44 million in the third quarter of 2012. Administrative costs for the third quarter of 2013 decreased by 1.17 million in the third quarter of 2013. However, administrative costs were mainly impacted by an increase of 1.55 million in the salaries and expenses of personal management hired by the new subsidiary, an increase in external valuation fees of 0.11 million. Such increase were primarily offset by a decrease of 0.11 million in commissions formerly paid to Desarrolladora Vesta and a decrease of 2.72 million in legal and audit costs. Depreciation during the third quarter reached 0.02 million compared with 0.01 million in the same quarter of 2012. EBITDA for the quarter increased 11.94 million or an increase of 34.8% from 8.86 million in the third quarter of 2012. Other income and expenses in the third quarter of 2013 amounted to an income of 11.63 million compared to a loss of 0.29 million in the third quarter of 2012. The increase is primarily explained by the gain on the revaluation of our property and expense generated from the effect of the variation of the peso-US dollar exchange rate in our peso cash balances and in the US dollar debt in one of our subsidiaries. The assessment of the third quarter 2013 shows a gain of 13.12 million compared with a profit of 2.16 million in the third quarter of 2012. This assessment was made in late September of 2013 and reflects the conditions of the real estate market observed at this time. At the end of the third quarter of 2013, the value of our 100 property portfolio was 858.2 million, including land reserves, and had a 13.6 million square feet or 1.26 million square meters of gross leasable area and a vacancy rate of 8.1%. In comparison, at the end of the second quarter of 2013, the portfolio was valued at 823.67 million, including land reserves, and had a 13.3 million square feet or 1.2 million square meters. During the third quarter 2013, income before taxes amounted to 23.55 million compared to 8.56 million recorded in the same quarter last year. Income taxes for the third quarter amounted to an expense of 6.07 million compared to an income of 5.86 million in the third quarter of 2012. This increase is primarily due to the difference in deferred tax expenses between the quarters ended September 2013 and September 2012. Vesta profits at the close of the third quarter 2013 amounted to 17.47 million compared to profits of 14.42 million in the third quarter 2012. Vesta total comprehensive income for the third quarter 2013 was 13.96 million compared to a gain of 9.76 million in the third quarter 2012, as it reflects the foreign exchange variation in the capital accounts of WTN, our subsidiary. Turning to Vesta balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents, which comprise the cash, bank deposits, and financial investments, amounted to 150.75 million by the end of the third quarter 2013, compared to 36.95 million recorded for the full year 2012. The product of our base rents charged to tenants acted as the main factor reflecting the cash flow generation of the third quarter 2013. Operating activities generated cash flow of 21.52 million and 21.77 million during the third quarter 2013 and 2012 respectively. Cash flow generated by the activities of the company in the third quarter 2013 was mainly affected by the increase in recoverable taxes totaling 10.9 million, mostly related to the value-added tax and the payment of taxes in 2012. CAPEX during the third quarter of this year amounted to $74.37 million, as investments activities were primarily related to payments corresponding to the progress in the construction of the new buildings in the Bajío and Toluca and the Aguascalientes Nissan project. As of the third quarter 2013, Vesta total outstanding debt reached $319.83 million, of which 2.5% or $8.15 million is related to short-term debt maturities, while $311.68 million or 97.5% represents long-term debt, both contracted with GE Capital. All the debt is owed to GE Capital and is guaranteed by a trust, which is tied to our most of our income properties, as well as the rental revenues derived from outstanding contracts. As of September 2013, 100% of our debt was denominated in U.S. dollars. Vesta performance over the third quarter of 2013 was strong and further demonstrate our ability to grow profitably and sustainably, and this has been reflected in our financial results. As always, we will continue to be diligent in our efforts to seek opportunities of the highest quality and that meet the standards of our business model. As we mentioned earlier, we remain confident in the long-term strength of the Mexican economy, and we are eager to capitalize on our competitive advantage in our specialized expertise and in quality management of our portfolio. This ongoing focus of achieving profitability alongside with increasing the efficiency of our operations, such as through the strong improvement in our vacancy rate, will continue to add value to our shareholders. At this point, I would like to open the floor for questions. Operator, can you please take any questions?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please hit star 1 on your telephone keypad. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Gordon Lee with the company BTG.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. Just two quick questions. The first on the impact of the tax reform. It's clear, obviously, that for that Vesta has no. There's no need for Vesta to turn into a FIBRA, so the elimination of the FIBRA doesn't really make much of a difference for you. But what about if you chose at some point to spin off stabilized properties into a FIBRA? Is there an impact there? Does that affect your ability to do that? In other words, the properties alone, not the company as a whole. And the second question is on land bank. As you know, there's a few home builders in Mexico, some of them very large, that are going to have to monetize or try to monetize their land bank over the next several months or even years. And some of those are near industrial areas. Have you looked at any of those as opportunities maybe to buy some land bank a little more cheaply than you would otherwise? Thanks.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Gordon. Nice to see that you're in the conference. Let me tell you, I'm going to start with the question number 2 related with the land bank. And as you can see, our land bank is less than $50 million and is strategically located in different cities in Mexico, which we are using. I want to take this opportunity to mention that after several years of recession and adjustment, this year Vesta is fully working in all its regions. We have been working in Tijuana, we're working in Juarez region, we're working in Bajío region, and we're working in Toluca, which is for us central region. So we would say that the proportion of land that we have is exactly what we need for our future growth. We have even been needed to acquire additional land in places as Toluca, which we run out of land and the vacancy rate was almost zero. So I would say that we are. I cannot tell you about other companies, but I can tell you that the investment committee is very disciplined in selecting and approving to acquire land that strategically is needed to anticipate future growth, but that will not be a carrying cost for the company. We're strategically also thinking and exploring about opportunities And if we find an opportunity that is attractive for the company, will be submitted to the investment committee, and in that case, that will be informed to our investor base. Related with your first question, we're going to split this question between Juan and I, but thinking about spinning off a subsidiary in the future, as either a Fibra or another company, well, that is always a possibility, especially when we get to the right scale, and we believe that it could be the right moment in the market. So it is a possibility, and we are not exploring that to do that in the very short term. The first part of the question related with tax reforms, Juan is going to answer it.
Gordon, good morning. Well, as you pointed out, we don't feel that the changes in the tax code really mean any strategic change to Vesta. We do not feel the need to convert into a Fibra at all. Acquisition by means of payment in a stock to acquire properties is not the core business, as you saw last quarter, and we put the specific on this quarterly report. We acquire a property in Tijuana where we paid in cash. So the urge to convert into a Fibra, to acquire that skill of being able to grow by acquiring and paying stock is not in the loop at this point in time. When growth stabilizes, then we will assess if converting into a Fibra makes sense, because some of our stockholders are large pension funds, but we don't feel that is something that we will take a look right now. And as far as spinning off properties to have a subsidiary Fibra type, I don't think that adds a lot of value to our core business model. No?
Thanks very much, guys.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Rogelio Urrutia at Actinver. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, good morning, Lorenzo and Juan. Congratulations on your results. I have a question regarding the Nissan project. Could you provide an update on this project and comment if you continue to expect that this project will start generating rental revenue in the coming months?
Yes. Good morning, Vigilio. Thank you for being with us, Rogelio. Let me share with you, and of course, Nissan is one of the main projects that we do have. And I would say that regarding the progress in the works that are being done, we are making very good advance. By the way, infrastructure for the whole phase one will be delivered on time on October 30. We do have a technical committee at the site in order to receive this, which is coming due on time. Then some of the projects were informed already started. We have been building some of the buildings in the park according to their needs, and all of them have been at this point developed using reimbursement letters while the final leases are being signed, which we expect to have that in the next 3 weeks. So I'm very happy with the project. We just received the invitation for November the 12th, in which the main plant, the $2 billion plant adjacent to our park, is doing their grand opening. They are already producing, so we're happy with the schedule, happy with the client, and just about to sign the final leases, which will be announced to the shareholder base as soon as we have it.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rogelio.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And our next question comes from Ivan Enrique from HSBC. Please.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the name?
Ivan. Okay. Francesca Suarez from Scotiabank.
Hi, good morning. Sorry for the confusion, and congrats on the results. Basically, my question relates with your overall vacancy that you have on the Bajío region, and if you can actually provide us a guidance on the mix between build-to-suit and spec properties that you are under the portfolio under construction at this moment.
Hello, Francisco. ¿Cómo estás? Let me tell you. First of all, the vacancy in the Bajío region. The Bajío region has been has a strong showing on our portfolio. As you know, basically 49% of our portfolio is located on the Bajío region, and basically. We have a vacancy on the total portfolio of the Bajío of 11.3%. That has to do with the fact that we have delivered some of the inventory buildings that were being built last year have been delivered to our footprint, and therefore, because they are inventory building, and that is the key development risk that we take, that is we build inventory buildings and then we lease them to prospective clients in time, that increase in our footprint has some empty space. I have to add that we expect to lease those empty spaces very soon. It is the policy of the company, as you might expect, to only show in our quarterly numbers anything that has been already signed. But we have strong leads for the main inventory buildings in the region. So we expect them to lease them within the next 4 weeks or 5 weeks. No, so that would be good news, but we have to wait until we sign the lease. Now, regarding the mix between inventory and spec buildings, during this quarter, we started to build two expansions. And these expansions really underline the strength of our client base. We have two clients, one of them in Ciudad Juárez, and another one in the Bajío region, in Silao. The Ciudad Juárez client is a big client. We have several operations with them throughout the country, and we built a building last year, which was delivered to them, and they asked for an expansion. And so the first project is an expansion of one of our existing clients, and the second one is with American Axle. If you recall, on the first quarter of this year, we did a large build-to-suit for American Axle. The build-to-suit is beginning to pay rent this quarter, and we were not even finishing the building when American Axle was requesting an expansion. So again, this shows how strong our client relationship is. And how we can grow our revenue just attending that client base. On the inventory building side, the rough size of these build-to-suit projects is 134,000 square feet. On inventory buildings, we are starting the build-up of around 961,000 square feet. We're basically building four buildings in the Bajío area. Three of them in the industrial park, one of them in the aerospace park, and we're also starting to build up an inventory building in Tijuana, which again shows that, as we have been said on past meetings, that the Tijuana market is turning around, and we believe that we have further opportunities to expand in that area.
Sorry. So in other words, you don't think that there are any conditions whatsoever to change your overall plans in growing your portfolio, isn't it? I mean, you still see a strong pipeline, strong demand from clients, and that's the reason why you are still making such a nice effort in constructing and offering more space to the market, isn't it?
Yes, Francisco. This is Lorenzo, and good morning. Let me elaborate on your comment because this shows is that our strategy is really working, and that the intelligence that we do have throughout our offices located at those regions give us enough information in anticipation to what is needed, and I want to remind you that our strategy is not just to build spec buildings per se. That's the reason we call them inventory, not spec buildings, because before our investment committee makes the decision of approving to start a new inventory building, is because we have a pre-demand that allowed us to capture the clients that are one way to segment the clients is clients that have time and clients that do not have time. And we are seeing several opportunities with clients that do not have time, and they need to take some of the business who are either finished or just about to be finished. And this is the kind of clients that we are targeting. And as our two of them are in Querétaro, I want to remind you that we basically build one inventory building in the region to have available product. For example, the one in Tijuana. We would not have started Tijuana until we closed the Brady deal of our vacant building in the same area of the city. So this is what we make us to be ready for future opportunities. The same thing we are doing in Silao, which we have no more inventory buildings, and in Querétaro, one thing we are building our second building in the Querétaro Aerospace Park because we are truly seeing the demand of smaller companies, suppliers of Bombardier that need to establish their operations there. And in the Querétaro Industrial Park, now we're starting to work with the supply chain of one of our clients. So even that it's called inventory buildings, is completely directed to some of the business opportunities that we are capturing.
Got it. If I may, a follow-up question on Gordon's questions on your land bank. I mean, and with this, and keeping in mind on your potential entrance to the Mexico City area, again, there are plenty of home builders that still have this land bank also in the surroundings of Mexico City, and so might be suitable for industrial use. Any thoughts on that you may actually leverage on the conditions that these home builders have at this moment to increase your presence in the Mexico City area?
Yes, that's a great question. And first of all, yes, we definitely believe that the presence in the Mexico suburban area is crucial, and we're exploring for land in that region. And whenever we close, we will let our investors know, because we believe that is a market that is growing and also is well paid and have very low vacancy. But that doesn't mean that it's easy to get the right kind of land. So we're working on that regard. But talking about the entrances of Mexico, definitely Toluca is considered one of those markets. And in that market, we were able to acquire some land. We're working on our inventory buildings, and we are working also in capturing opportunities. But I definitely agree we will be participating in those markets.
And if that actually happens, I mean, your same policies and the discipline that we have seen in the past on doing a cap rate, that will hold, isn't it?
Yes. We will keep the same discipline that we have had in the past, and this is regarding how when your strategy is working, there is no need to change. You need to reinforce it. And you need to get it even stronger or maybe faster. But this is exactly what we are doing. And we are exploring, and we are still getting the cap rates that we have shared. And of course, if we see any difference, we will let our shareholder base know. But at this time, I would say that probably we are taking the lead in some of these markets, and we have more followers. But that's how we are used to compete. And we will be targeting with those specific regions that we have talked about in our past conferences.
Fantastic. Very quick. Thank you for congrats again.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Ivan Enriquez with HSBC Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, Lorenzo, Juan. Thank you for the call and congratulations on the result. My question would be if you can help me better understand, maybe explaining in more detail why the gain on the revaluation of investment properties was so high during this quarter. If I'm reading it correctly, it was pretty much with a similar size of your rental revenues. So can you please tell me what does this this revaluation has to do with or how it works? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you for the question, Ivan. Let's start by saying that as you well know, revaluation of properties was one of the practices that Vesta learned from its long history of corporate governance. One of our previous shareholders instilled that practice in our company procedures, and we believe it adds a lot of value because of the information we gain about how we manage the portfolio and how are the real estate markets doing in the regions that we operate with the out of an outsider. No, it keeps us honest, so to speak, on how we operate and how we perceive the markets and how are the markets where we operate. We have been doing this practice since basically 2005. This practice was instilled on us, it was asked us to be done by CalPERS, no? One of our previous private equity shareholders. A revaluation of properties is a non-cash item in the income statement, and that is an important way of looking at it because it's a non-cash item, no? Basically, what we do is we supply our external appraiser with the rent roll of our property, and we include in that rent roll those new buildings that we are constructing and with the specifications. So the appraisal in essence includes the existing portfolio and its rental specifications, the new properties, and what the appraiser does is he basically puts his opinion about the behavior of the leases once they mature and the type of leases that the new buildings will be able to command. He values those leases. He generally uses the present value model of rental income, and he produces a value. So in this particular quarter, what impacts the appraiser opinion on the value of our portfolio was the fact that by the time the appraisal was done, we had a couple of new buildings being worked on. We have started those couple of new buildings, and because our vacancy rate was so low, that also impacts the type of revenue that he assumes that he's going to be discounted. And those two factors, a low vacancy rate and the new building, produce such a high appraised value. And I just want to clarify one thing because it has come up on some of the questions from one-on-one meetings that we have had. In the past quarter, and it applies to this quarter as well. Please bear in mind that the Nissan project is not being appraised at this time. It's not being appraised because being a build-to-suit project, we have not signed the specific leases with all the tenants. So being conservative, I did not ask the appraisers to appraise that chunk of the portfolio. As soon as we have signed the leases with all of the tenants, then the appraiser will have the raw material that he needs to value those properties.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Cecilia Jimenez at Santander. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, Lorenzo. Good morning, Juan. Thanks for the call. My question also has to do with competition. You already mentioned, and I'm just confirming, you haven't seen any important increase or in cap rates due to competition. That's the first one.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, when we talk about competition, we need to talk competition basically at the regional level. Although there are companies, and we all say that we are national because we have presence in 12 states or the main states, or I would say that the way we see competition has to do with different ways. Well, of course, we compete to raise equity, so every time we go to the market, if there is other companies raising, that's one way to compete. And we, as you have clearly seen. The more companies that become that arrive to the market, the more competition there is. But of course, on the other hand, the investors are more educated about the market, about the business opportunities, and also investors are able to differentiate each company. So we believe that we are a strong competitor, and we are and we have been working strongly in making sure that our company differentiates from others. Now, at the regional level and at the battlefield, as we call it, then we need to know, we need to see who the competitors are, and then the local competition is different, because sometimes we may be competing against local players who may not be very well known, who have a regional presence, and they develop either industrial parks or have inventory buildings available to lease. So we need to make sure that those buildings, how our buildings relate to those, and how that can affect. And one of the things that has helped our company is the building standards. Being tilt-up and the kind of infrastructure has made a difference, and now we're matching that with what companies are requesting. And when the companies understand that there is an additional value, for example, what we are doing is we are preparing our buildings with some elements that could make our tenants to have LEED certifications in the future if they desire to do so. Not every building of our competitors is in the same category. So when that is recognized by the market, that allows us to keep the best possible cap rates. Now, if we talk about other markets, for example, Juarez, in which since 2009 there was overbuilding of buildings, and then there was a decrease in the growth economy, basically from the U.S., plus some perception of insecurity. Well, in that regard, there is a very strong competition, and then you need to lower prices. So, but now when we talk about expanding, and remember, almost 60% of our growth has come from existing clients. Well, you develop a relation with them, and you need to be fair on the market cap rates to them. So it's different strategies for each one, and so far we have been able to maintain the cap rates that we have shared with our clients, our investors.
Okay, very clear. That was actually my second question. Have you seen on renewals and specifically on the northern part or the northern states, have you seen a price compress prices in order to increase the occupancy? That's one part of the question. And then how are your renewals doing? Have you been able to renew at the same pace you were renewing before?
Yes. Well, of course, when you talk about renewals, let me tell you, first of all, independently of market conditions, always the clients want to be recognized for the time that they have been with you. And what we do is we do benchmark because sometimes you have, let's say, 12-year leases, and what we close and the terms that we closed 12 years ago and then applying inflation each year to those leases, really nobody knows how it's going to be 12 years since the time that you close the lease. And what we make sure is that by the time that you need to renew, there two things happen. First of all, we definitely need to negotiate, because the clients always expect to have some recognition for being a long-term client of Vesta. But on the other hand, we make sure that what is available in the market does not have a distortion with the renewal price that we are asking for, and we try to close that gap. But we try to get both, which sometimes is possible, sometimes we need to work harder, which is make sure that we get our fair returns to our investors, but also make sure that we keep a strong relation with our tenants, and that they feel fairly treated, and we are seeing that. So I need to tell you that it's case by case. In some cases, for example, in Tijuana, when we lost Unisolar, when they went bankrupt, we had to bring somebody else and make sure it's a great company, 10-year lease, but of course we had to give them some discount, because the building was made basically to Unisolar needs, and it was not perfect for Brady, so we kind of adapted giving them a discount. But then this important building is leased to a much better company, with good financial results. So I would say that it's case by case, and sometimes we have to give them 5%, even 10%. Well, that, if that is the fair, we need to act and move ahead. But that brings us also some other business opportunities with them in other regions.
Okay, and then my last question is, if I may, if I look at your balance sheets regarding the cash part, I see an important amount. So my question is it there of the cash you have today committed to any of the projects that you have already announced over this quarter? And if not, what is the deployment you're expecting in terms of time to have the cash deployed, you know, to start with additional projects?
Okay, let me try to answer first one part of your question. Remember, the reason we did when we did our IPO in July of 2012, we thought and we explained to investors that this money could take us to the next 36 months. So basically 3 years, and then we could have some leverage if we needed to, additional to that. What we told them in the follow-on was that because of the growth of the company, the growth opportunities, and the commitments we had to come back earlier to the markets. And basically what made a big difference is the committed of close to $100 million to the Nissan project in their two phases. And that money had to be reserved, even that they need to tell us when the second phase will be starting. And we do not know that yet, but we believe could be happening somewhere next year. But that's just what we feel. There is no confirmation on that. But we need to have the reserves for that project to happen. Now, there's two ways to see this. If it's only about, remember, our company, even that we have done some acquisitions in the past, we acquisitions is not our preferred route. First, because we have development skills, we are finding good development opportunities, and the spread that we can give to investors is much better than what we could give in acquiring properties at the prices of today. And also, that wouldn't allow us to have the relation with the clients since day one. We would be acquiring, and we don't know the history of what kind of relation they had, and that is an issue that at times of renewal is when you really notice how that is and how difficult sometimes it could be if you don't have the best tenant relationship, client-tenant relationship. So with that said, if we devoted only that on organic growth, of course that would be at a certain rhythm. But what we are looking, and this is where our concept of park to suit is crucial. What we are seeing, and this happens in the history of a country very seldom, what is happening to Mexico, because what we are seeing is not only like big assembly plants are moving to Mexico. The big opportunity for a company like ours is to try to capture the supply chain, as we have done with the aerospace industry, and as we are doing with the Nissan project. And for those supply chains, they need to see at least three things. First of all, that you have expertise on those kinds of deals. Secondly, that you have the credibility, because they cannot afford to make a mistake on the company they select. And third, they want to see that you have the cash available to start when they need you to start. They cannot take the risk of a company that even if they do a good job in the bidding process, then you say, well, Nissan, thank you very much. Now I'm going to go to the markets and try to raise some equity to be able to develop your project. You need to see you need to show them that you have the money ready to start. And this is why what we will be exploring and what we are working on is in more projects working directly to supply chains through our park to suit business model. And if that happens, the money that we have in cash that you may find maybe higher, well, that could take one or two supply chain kind of business in the next years, maybe 2 years. But this is something that we will be sharing with our shareholder base as soon as we move on. I hope,
okay,
Cecilia.
So Yeah, that was very clear. Just to make it more clear, the what I could see then it's let's say probably 100 or 200 out of your current cash is committed to the Nissan project. Is that correct? Am I wrong with the number?
No. Basically, please remember, Cecilia, this is Juan Sotil, that the Nissan project is a two-phase project. The first phase was $57 million. The whole project is around $90 million, and we basically have that cash to execute that project. The phase one deployment is on time, and so by April the 1st we will have ended the deployment of the $57 million. Phase two will happen, we believe, but we have no indication from the company. We believe it will happen next year. So out of my cash reserves, you need to subtract basically the phase two, and you need to assume how much of the cash I have deployed so far. Regarding the basic level, please remember that when we did the follow-on, we said that this cash, we expected it to be deployed in the next 18 months. Okay?
Yes, perfect. Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cecilia.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Mauricio Santos with GBM Equity Funds. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the call. I have a couple of follow-ons. The first one is regarding Cibras. I understand that, well, it doesn't impact the business model. However, I guess that you might have tax deferrals thanks to this tax scheme. Is that going to change? Would you end up paying higher taxes in the short term? And the second question, a follow-on on the pipeline. How many cash do you have compromised for the seven projects that are under development right now?
Thank you, Mauricio, for the question. On the first one, the fact that the FIBRA tax regime is probably going to disappear has no implication on our effective tax rate of the company. What that regime allow us to do, and we did use it in the past, was basically to acquire a property and pay the seller of the property by means of shares. And if we did it that way, the seller of the property had a beneficial tax treatment. Basically, they were allowed to defer the taxes, the capital gain tax on the sale of their property to us, up until the time they sold the shares. So any benefit any tax benefit was really not to Vesta, was to the seller of the property. If the tax regime disappears, which is what is likely to happen when the tax reform are approved, then those sellers of properties that did have this preferential treatment will have to follow the procedure that is pointing out in the tax proposal, which is basically that I think they have like 2 years to pay those capital gain taxes. So it really doesn't affect them. Now, on the text, is that clear? Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, the only thing is that I believe you are also developers of these properties, and I don't know if you sold any of those in the past.
No, let me tell you, good question. Vesta, up until this time, has not sold any property. We're a relatively young company. We have 15 years of existence. Most of our portfolio was developed between 2006 and the present, so this is a really young portfolio in real estate terms. And we have looked at disposal of properties, but really on the market that we operate, we feel that these markets are vibrant and growing, and so we don't feel the need to, quote-unquote, raise capital by means of disposal of properties. So we don't have any issues with that so far.
Perfect.
Okay, so is that part of your question covered?
Yeah, that's. Thank you, Juan.
Okay, no problem. And the second part, I think that you wanted to see how much capital we have committed on the pipeline. Exactly. Okay, basically, on the new projects we have announced on this quarterly report, we have committed roughly $32 million of $32 million. On the buildings that are not that have not been finished of prior announcement, we have committed another $23 million, and of course we and then we have the Nissan project, and on the Nissan project, as I said, is the $57 million of cash that we have committed. Now, on all of these figures, these are the investment amounts, and those amounts you can see on my quarterly reports. Now, how much have I actually spent? Well, that's a tougher question, but because of our short development time frames, basically the buildings take around 6 months, 5 to 6 months to develop, and the Nissan project, the 57, from January to April is really a very short time of horizon on your business projection. It really doesn't affect that much your model, no, but you have to guess it out. Okay.
Okay. Well, then we can say that by the first half of 2014,
all of these,
you won't have these amounts on your cash balance.
That's exactly the cash
would be a good,
decrease. Precisely, cash will decrease by these amounts by the middle of the second quarter next year. Properties will go up, and income will be generated on all these properties, assuming that we rent the inventory buildings faster.
Perfect. Clear enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mauricio.
There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Lorenzo Berho, CEO of Vesta. You may begin.
Thank you, Rob. Well, thank you. Thank you, all of you, for participating in this Vesta's 2013 third quarter conference call. We look forward to speaking with you again when we release our fourth quarter 2013 results. However, if you have any questions in the meantime, please do not hesitate to contact our investor relations department with any questions you may have. Thank you, and have a great day. Bye-bye.